Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words of Scripture this morning about the infant Jesus and what his parents were doing for him, Lord, we just pray that we might be like Simeon and Anna, who were at the temple that day and recognized Jesus, not because of what he was wearing or what he was saying or doing, but just from your spirit, recognize that who he was and praise you for that. Lord, we pray that we too may seek you out in our daily living and that we may give you homage and we may praise you all the days of our lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you're familiar with your Bible at all, you know that we have four Gospels in our Bible. And sometimes we argue, we question, well, why does it take four to tell the same story? But they come from different viewpoints, and we've been talking about that in Bible study for a while now. But yet none of the four Gospels tell us much about Jesus' early life, his life as a child. We get this image as a baby. Then we get it when he's 12 years old. And then again, he bursts on the scene when he's baptized at about the age of 30. Well, what happened in between all those years? And in the first couple centuries of the Christianity, there were those that tried to fill in those blanks with different stories and different gospel accounts. You know, we have four gospels in our Bible, but there were many other gospel writings. And they tried to fill in the blanks and gave some miraculous encounters of Jesus as a child, which I'm not going to get into today. They aren't included in our Bible, but those are some interesting things if you want to look them up online. But we have Matthew and we have Luke. And they're the only two Gospels that we have in our Bible that mention Jesus' life before the age of 30. And their descriptions are sparse, as I mentioned. There's not much there. But we do know that what life was like around, we don't know what life was like around the carpenter shop in Nazareth or who Jesus' playmates were. In fact, the Gospels seem to be more interested in telling us about the reactions of those who encountered the boy Jesus than in describing his childhood. And even those recorded reactions are surprisingly few and far between. Just think about it for a moment. There were potentially hundreds of people probably who met Jesus before he started his public ministry, and yet only a handful ever knew that that he was the one they encountered and that he was the Son of God. On the night that Jesus was born, Bethlehem was packed with people who had gathered for the census. Yet it was only the common, unrefined, and probably irreligious shepherds who saw the angel chorus and went and paid homage to the baby. The wise men could not have been the only people who saw the star in the sky that heralded Jesus' birth. Yet these foreigners were the ones who recognized it as a sign from God that a new King of Kings had been born. The temple surely was crowded when Mary and Joseph brought their infant son for dedication in today's scripture. Yet it was only Simeon and Anna who recognized him as the Messiah, that one who had been promised by God, whom the Jews had been waiting for generations. They recognized this infant as that fulfillment. These biblical events make us, living scores of generations later, wonder how many people today encounter Christ right before their eyes, but do not recognize him in the midst of the commonplace experiences of life? Simeon and Anna looked at a baby boy in the arms of a poor couple from a small town and saw the ruler of creation. They can give us guidance as we look for the Holy One in the events of our lives. Simeon and Anna belonged to a group of people who lived near the temple in Jerusalem. Like many others of their day, they were hoping that God would send someone to reestablish the triumphant days of King David and his kingdom. when Israel was among the greatest of all the nations. They were not religious professionals like the priests and the scribes who made their living performing rituals and teaching scripture to devout Jews. Simeon and Anna were not rich as far as worldly standards go. They would be considered poor. They probably had little formal education. They stayed around the temple so they could worship every time the doors were open. They passed their days watching the people come and go, talking about religion with anyone who would take the time, doing chores for the priests, and perhaps doing a little begging on the side to help make ends meet. Simeon and Anna had seen many people go in and out of the temple gates. Anna, scripture tells us, was 84. She had lived around the temple ever since she was widowed at a young age. Simeon was no youngster either, but he was convinced that God was going to send the Messiah before he died. Simeon and Anna were the sort of people who blended in with the landscape of the temple, the ones an average visitor would barely notice while hurrying by on the way to the important business that lay inside the sanctuary. There was nothing unusual about Mary and Joseph and the baby. Nothing special that would have made anyone notice them out of all the other faithful ones that came to the temple that day. But something inside Simeon and Anna told them that this was no ordinary family. Something told them that here was the one for whom they had been watching all these years. How did they know? At least the shepherds had heard angels, and the wise men saw the star. What had these elderly temple dwellers seen except the same sight everyone else in Jerusalem saw over and over, day after day? An ordinary family bringing their humble offerings to perform their religious duty. Simeon and Anna recognized Jesus because they expected to see God at work, even in the commonplace events of their poor lives. Looking for God, they were ready to see him when he appeared. There was still an element of mystery in their discovery. Not everyone who was devout and expectant recognized the Messiah. The Holy Spirit chose to show Simeon and Anna who Jesus was. It was not something that they perceived for themselves. Nevertheless, Simeon and Anna were prepared when the Spirit revealed Jesus to them. They'd been waiting for it, and they were ready for that revelation. God's Spirit continues to this day revealing God's presence to those who are open and expectant. I read recently of a woman whose husband had just come out of an operating room after life-threatening surgery. He was in critical condition. Because he was still under the effects of anesthesia, she could not talk with him, and it would be several hours before the doctors had results from the surgery and lab results and knew exactly what the outcome might be. When she left the hospital late in the afternoon, she was anxious, worried, and deeply concerned about what the future held in store. It had been raining that day, but as she drove home, it began to clear up. And in the distance, over a field, she saw a rainbow. It was a breathtaking sight, though not an unusual one following a summer storm. But this was more than a rainbow to her. All of a sudden, she felt absolutely assured that everything would be all right. Something told her that God was with her. She had nothing about which to worry. The rainbow was, for her, a message from God. No one else she talked to later had noticed that rainbow. They were all too busy with other things. But through that common late summer event, she had felt God, the eternal creator of the universe, speaking directly to her. When we expect to see God moving in our lives, we can begin to make sense out of where we have been and where we are going. Knowing that God came among us as a poor baby and entered the lives of people like Simeon and Anna, we can look back over our own lives and find evidence that God has been a part in them. If, like that faithful pair at the temple, we look for God to work in his creation, we can trust that God is always moving through human history, in spite of our greed and our shortcomings, that God is showing himself to whomever will see. We sang earlier, open my eyes that I may see. We need to have open eyes and open ears and open minds. The story of this woman reminds me of a song by John Fisher entitled, Have You Seen Jesus, My Lord? And the lyrics say this, Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever looked at the sunset with the sky mellow and red and the clouds suspended like feathers? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you ever stood at the ocean with the white foam at your feet, felt the endless thunder in motion? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you ever looked at the cross with a man hanging in pain and the look of love in his eyes? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. As followers of Jesus Christ, we look at things differently than others. We see every event that happens as an arena in which God can work. Paul told his friends in the Colossians to, quote, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When we let Jesus rule in our hearts, we attune ourselves to see God at work in our lives. It's like the old style of tuning in the radio. We don't have to do that anymore with digital tuners. But before that, you know, you had to get it in. Sometimes it'd be, you get a little static there. When you get it on the point, we're attuned to God. We're seeking God. We're looking for God in our everyday lives. Our perspective becomes one of God's perspective. We expect to see God's hand in every part of his world, even that tiny part that we inhabit. When Christ is the one who guides us, we can recognize the Eternal One when he breaks into our lives, just as he did so unobtrusively for Simeon and for Anna. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that we might be like Simeon and Anna, with hearts and minds and eyes and ears open, seeking you, reading your word, but also then putting that into practice and looking for your presence among us. Lord, forgive us when we discount something as commonplace or circumstance and do not give you the credit. For Lord, we pray that your Spirit will move in among us, that we may be receptive to that, and that when we see that we may share that recognition with others, that they too may come to recognize you in their lives. Lord, the joy that Simeon and Anna had that day, we pray that we too may have that joy, and that joy that we may reflect to others, especially those who are hurting and need to hear a word of comfort, a word of peace, and a word of joy. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.